I'm Brian Turner with 88.1 MyFM News, and today I'm joined by Danielle Rae, the newly announced NDP candidate for the upcoming federal election. Thank you so much for taking the time to speak with us today, Danielle.
Thank you very much, Brian.
Let's start right off. What do you think the main issues are among Lanark Frontenac voters?
So I think there are a few major issues. I'm going to start with housing. Obviously, the housing crisis continues unabated. Usually, in federal politics and provincial politics, the housing crisis is talked about as if it's some kind of urban issue. And while the epicenters might be in places like Toronto and Halifax, you see it's hit rural communities just as hard in many ways. Over in Carleton Place, it's something like 40% of households are renters. Up in Frontenac, rent has skyrocketed while job opportunities remain very stagnant. We're talking a lot of people are paying maybe 1500 a month in rent while making minimum wage. That's not sustainable, and it puts people in a situation where so much of their monthly income is going towards rent that they can't look after their kids. Many of them can't even think about having kids. And if they have a vehicle, they're watching it break down around them because they can't afford the regular routine maintenance. So that's one thing I really want to underline. We also need to make bigger investments in infrastructure in order to sustain small towns and rural communities. And then, of course, the elephant in the room is Canadian sovereignty, with US tariffs hitting working people, hitting small businesses, and with the constant threats to make Canada the 51st state, or as Danielle Smith's friend Ben Shapiro put it, the Puerto Rico of the North.
What do you propose, and what does your party propose as solutions to these issues?
So, unlike the Liberals, the NDP leader Jagmeet Singh has proposed basically to allocate tariff money, like the money we collect from tariffs, to workers in those industries that are most strongly affected. That contrasts with the Liberal plan, which focuses on propping up corporations, and the Conservative plan, which I'm not sure the Conservatives have actually addressed tariffs last time I checked in any meaningful way. They're going on about building jobs and slashing spending as they do every election cycle, as if nothing's happening. And then in terms of the housing crisis, Jagmeet's promised to ban corporations from buying affordable rental buildings in order to stop these large corporate landlords from gouging tenants. And that's particularly important in an economic downturn because these large corporations can take liquidity hits. Mark Carney's plan focuses on temporary GST, HST holidays for corporations to help their liquidity, but they can take the hit. Small businesses, working people, people who their house is their only asset, they can't take the hit. And it's in these times of economic crisis that large corporations swoop in to buy up properties and to acquire small businesses, often at a fraction of what they're worth. We saw it in 2008, and we're seeing it now. And so I think the NDP's plan would really address the economic crisis on behalf of the people rather than on behalf of corporations, and would allow us to survive this economic hit from US tariffs and so on, allow us, the people, to survive it rather than having us be thrown to the wind and our properties bought up by major corporations.
Danielle, what do you bring to the table for the voters and residents of Lanark Frontenac?
So, unlike Scott Reed and unlike Foxton, I have experienced firsthand the housing crisis. My family's lived in Lanark Frontenac for 10 years, but I moved back here, in fact, because I was priced out of Ottawa. I was living in affordable housing. So I wasn't even in one of the Minto-owned properties where rent went up the highest, and yet it still became completely unaffordable. And now we're seeing it hit Frontenac. We're seeing it hit our communities as well. So I have that personal experience with the consequences of what these politicians decide. Second of all, I feel like Reed and Foxton both, if elected, won't feel particularly bound to their constituents. And here's why. Because Scott Reed is running as a longtime incumbent in what's considered a safe riding. He has no real reason to listen to his constituents because I think he believes, and a lot of the political establishment believes, that people will just vote conservative anyways, no matter what he does. Foxton, on the other hand, is betting that people will vote liberal automatically if they're dissatisfied with the conservatives. So again, she has no real on the ground personal stake. It's not about her campaign. It's not about what she does to govern this riding. Whether Foxton or Reed wins or loses depends on the fate of basically the Conservative Party. If the Conservative Party don't collapse, then Reed gets reelected. If they do, if people get really angry at the Conservatives, then Foxton will campaign and win on people not liking the Conservatives. I have to make the appeal directly to my fellow citizens. I have to engage with them one-on-one, face-to-face. I have to actually listen to them because I'm not from the political establishment, because I can't rely on either the good name or the bad name of the Conservative Party of Canada. I have to put in the work, which means I am bound to actually represent them.
Finally, what do you think the NDP leader Jagmeet Singh has going for him to be able to deal with US President Trump?
I think part of it, there's two elements here. There's Jagmeet Singh, and then there's an NDP government, right? So, and the NDP as an institution. So Jagmeet Singh, personally, he's a real fighter. He doesn't take crap from anyone, least of all some orange guy who calls us the 51st state. But then I think even more important than that is that as an institution, the NDP are not beholden to big tech or the resource extraction industry, which are the two largest backers of Donald Trump. You look at Elon Musk, Mark Zuckerberg, Bezos, that sort of row of tech oligarchs at his inauguration. The tech sector, big tech, they're some of the biggest funders of the Liberal Party. And our tech sector and America's tech sector are deeply intertwined. Meanwhile, traditionally, the oil and gas industry, as well as resource extraction more broadly, have been the biggest supporters of the Republican Party and of the Trump candidacy. They are also less integrated than big tech, last time I checked, but still pretty integrated between Canada and America. They are the biggest backers of the Conservative Party. So the Liberal and Conservative parties both have a vested interest in sort of desperately clinging to the status quo and trying to make nice. It's wonderful what Mark Carney is doing right now with the whole elbows up routine, but we saw during Trump's first term, during the Trudeau administration, sorry, the Trudeau government, we saw our leaders talking tough. But then once he was gone, it was like they'd woken up from a bad dream. They didn't have an idea of Canada's long-term future outside of America's orbit. The NDP does. The NDP has not grown complacent, and the NDP is not beholden to the interests which helped put Donald Trump in power.
I can't thank you enough for your time today, Danielle, and we wish you all the best on April 28th.
Thank you very much, Brian.